Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we will be discussing Triumphs by Joshua Hinkle. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This piece is in the key of concert B-flat. It's 4-4 throughout. It's really a fanfare, right? It is 3 minutes long. It's pretty straight ahead. It's got split clarinet parts, split alto parts, and split trumpet and trombone parts. Percussion is really straight ahead, five percussion parts. There is a relatively active percussion two-part, but it can be covered by one player.
The timpani part is very important. You can't leave that out as in a normal fanfare.
Yes, and the snare drummer, you need the snare drummer. It's a really fast piece. We're going at about 144 BPM here, so you want to make sure your snare drummer is really solid and has got nice touch and control at that tempo. And even the mallet part is pretty active as well. Yeah.
So as Laura mentioned, it's a fanfare. And so it's pretty standard in that regard. You need pretty solid brass. Especially you need solid high brass.
Yeah, trumpet, horn, and alto.
Yeah, and Laura and I were saying this would be a great piece for like a spring concert for a top band where you could kind of put it together, top middle school band, where you could kind of put it together pretty quickly. Or it would be a great piece that you could work on for a while with like a non-varsity group that has good high brass. Or this would be great for a fall concert for a sub-non-varsity or non-varsity high school group as well. It's a wonderful, well-written piece without a ton of just difficult rhythms and things like that. So when it starts out, active percussion, like Laura mentioned, the woodwinds are kind of just doing like an accompaniment part, setting up the pulse at the very beginning. It's all staccato, so it just kind of sounds like dee 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 dee. They're just setting it up, but the rhythm is easy to count. At measure 5, high brass comes in, trumpet, horn, and sax.
The way that it's written in the introduction, the rhythm in the flute and oboe is slightly different than that of the clarinet in order to make sure that you hear straight eighth notes all the way, but they are given a little bit of a break. And I would not personally, especially the range where this is written, clarinet is up high. Both parts are over the break. We've got the first clarinet on G above the staff and the second clarinet on the register C, the third space. Mm-hmm. And the xylophone is playing the same part as this. So work to get those upper woodwinds to match the clarity of articulation that the xylophone has. I don't think you have to be overly concerned with how crisp it is, just that the firmness of the fronts of the notes matches the same articulation in the mallets.
Yep. So the timpani, again, has an important part in measures 3 and 4 as the intro is closing. 5, the first melodic section comes in, again, in high brass and saxophone. Just a dotted quarter note rhythm. 1 and 3, 1 and 3, 4. And it goes up to a top line F for
big
trumpet.
Big skips in the trumpet.
Both trumpet parts, trumpet 1 and 2, they're unison here. So you have to have a pretty good trumpet section that can do that. Again, it's not split here in harmony. The horn part is not difficult right now. They're just playing the chords underneath.
One of the things that will help make this skip in the trumpets better, it goes from a G in the staff to a top line F. So that's a pretty significant leap that you want to play with control. But it's nice because the high F is articulated. Mm-hmm. So they are not having to slur up that distance. They at least get to articulate, which will help.
Yep. And then at 9, the low brass comes in kind of like a big, you know, with the bass drum, like a big boom, you know, everybody
drone,
comes in and
basically
holds. Yeah. Woodwinds are still doing the exact same thing. Timpani has the little last response at measure 12. 13, now the high brass go to the accompaniment part and the bells, flute, oboe, clarinet, and sax all have the melody. And again, clarinet 1 and 2, alto 1 and 2, everybody's on the melodic line. So it's not like a harmony part. Everybody's playing up high. Saxes go to above the staff A. Clarinets are all, again, mostly over the break on the melody. Flutes are going up to C above the staff. So you just have to be careful about, especially some cross tuning.
Yeah, really, in the I think woodwind it's part. The tuning issues between the flute and the saxophone, especially, mm-hmm. are going to be things on those longer value notes, the half notes that you have, that you're going to need to be mindful of. I do also think the clarity of articulation, the xylophone stops playing the eighth note pulse at this point. And so that pulse is just brought to you by the trumpets, horns, and tenor sax. So I think you are going to have to be a little more mindful about the clarity of articulation here, especially in the horns,
yep.
To make sure that they match the trumpet and the tenor sax here.
And then I would also say be really careful, or mindful, thoughtful about where the kids are going to breathe.
Yes.
Because it's going to be common for them to want to all breathe after three measures because it's after a half note in the melody. So I would assign A's and B's or whatever, odds and evens, to make sure that everybody's not breathing at the exact same time during the melody, whether that's no matter who has the melody when they do, just make sure everybody's taking different staggered breaths. Then again, we have another drone, like Laura said, at 17. Everybody comes in and holds. The trumpets are the only ones with the eighth note accompaniment now. Another big timpani moment at 20, along with some chord changes in the middle and tenor voices going into 21.
So it's setting us up for this new idea at measure 21. At 21, we kind of get this bold accented statement. This is really where a lot of times fanfares start with a big fanfare statement. Mm-hmm. This really has a pretty lengthy introduction, and 21 is the first part that I really feel like you get that fanfare
and
statement.
It's accented. Yes. It hasn't been accented until now.
Now, rhythmically, this is really straight ahead. It's accented on every note for every part.
Yeah.
The rhythm is really easy, but the range, the first trumpets are sitting on E's and F's at the top of the staff. And of course, that means flutes are on D's and E flats above the staff. So, and the clarinets, again, are in the same range as those first trumpets. So cross-tuning considerations as well. But big thing for me, and Katie addressed this a little bit earlier, this is written where you have, it should be a 4 or 8 bar phrase, but you have a half note for everybody at the end of the second measure. And that is going to be a place, and there is no percussion that's kind of helping to cross the bridge over the bar line. So making sure that they are playing in those longer valued phrases, and at 144 BPM, that really should not be a problem, right?
Yep. And then after this first statement at 25, the snare drum comes back in, kind of takes over a little bit of the activity. The drone people kind of come back and everybody's got a tied note while only the upper woodwinds keep going on the fanfare. So it's just flute, oboe, all clarinet. Clarinet is now in octaves. So that's a tuning thing you got to pay attention to as well. And then bells.
And speaking of octaves, the low brass have the same part here, also in octaves.
Mm-hmm.
So again, just be mindful of that. These are not difficult notes or anything, but you just need to be aware that tuning may be something that you need to spend some time on, especially if it's a younger ensemble.
At 27, it changes to into con amore. So it's still written in 4, but you can conduct it more in 2/4. It's got more of that flowy feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's fun that we said
I can't
the
believe
exact
we just said flowy feel. I know. Yeah.
We did not plan that, everybody. So we've been doing this too long.
I guess so.
Yeah. So
it's softer. This is definitely a little
mezzo
more lyrical.
Piano. Yes, it's definitely lyrical. Only the horn has kind of the counter melody line with sax, tenor sax, low reed. There's no other brass playing here. The melody is in flute, oboe, and clarinet. And the clarinets are all on the same notes as well as flute and oboe. So no harmony. They're playing the melody.
And it's really just drone harmony behind them.
Yeah. And again, you want to talk about breathing because they're going to, again, want to play a 4-measure phrase and breathe. In this case, the tenor sax, alto, and horn do have a line where they could cover the breath if you wanted them to all breathe after 4 measures, or you could tell the kids to push through the phrase and take a sneak breath in 32 and 33,
which is what I would do. That's exactly what I would do as well. I would try to avoid that bar line breath as much as possible.
I would too, but they're, to each their own.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes. And then in 34, as we're going into 35, which is the next box number, the lower voices, low brass, come in on beat three, and they kind of take over that harmonic structure that the like sax and horn were doing before. Now the horn and the alto go to a true counter melody line with the flute, oboe, clarinet, and now adding in the trumpet on the melody. Now, so bringing out that line, I think, would be pretty cool.
The range on the melody now in the trumpet, flute, and clarinet is much lower. More reasonable. It's lower. It's in the staff. So it is set up. The range for the counter melody, however, is a little
much
bit higher.
Much higher.
So yeah, we've got the horns going all the way up to a high F. It's going to be easy to feature that counter melody because of the range. But again, just making sure that your altos and horns can blend really well together. We don't want this in the horn part to sound forced. This should sound relaxed and just, again, it's mezzo piano, so relaxed and just really pretty.
Yep. There's like a little mark tree moment at 42.
Percussion
and that's
has
it.
Been
Percussion
out.
Is
yeah.
just chilling, and it's like a chorale feature for the band. At 43, now the bells come back in. I don't know if it's bells or xylophone at this moment.
I think this is bells.
I think it's still bells too. Yeah. So they come back in and they have the same thing as flute and oboe, which is just
it's like
playing
ding dong,
two, three,
ding
four,
dong.
One, two. It's just back and forth, not important. The melody is an alto saxophone solo. So if it were me, I would probably make the flute and oboe part either be one on a part or maybe two flutes and one oboe so that that part's not overwhelming if not everybody can play soft enough to feature a saxophone. All the other woodwinds have, which is just bassoon, bass clarinet, and clarinet, they have just chords underneath, brass.
And I agree. I think your options are either thin out the woodwind accompaniment in order to hear the saxophone solo or make it a saxophone soli.
Right.
If your saxophone section can play, and this is not rhythmically, it's not hard, even tuning-wise, it's really not crazy. There's a couple of things above the staff you might have to be mindful of, but for the most part, you could make this a saxophone soli and probably fix your volume issues, but there's also no harm at all. If you want it to be a solo, then just thin out the accompaniment. I do think you will probably need to do one of
or
those two
other,
things in order to hear the clarity in this line like you want.
Yep. Then at 51, there's we have another kind of like, I would call it like the drone again, sort of. A bunch of people come in on beat one and hold. Then we're getting softer and softer. Low brass comes in. And then in 53, there's a little tiny flute solo for two measures, then a little clarinet solo right after that. So we're kind of featuring some of the upper woodwind parts.
We pass this little line.
We pass
one,
it. Yep.
Four, one.
And then the trumpet one has the solo last in the quote unquote in two section. Then it's marked at 58 to go back to in four because now the style is changing back to what we had at the beginning.
Now, I think in this more lyrical section that we had before, also the drone, like Katie mentioned, the drone that the low brass have, they're in fifths a lot of the way through there. So tuning wise, that should be, and they're all relatively secure notes. You have a D flat thrown in there, a G flat, D flat, I think somewhere in there that you might need to be
G flat.
Okay, there we go.
But
for the most part, like they're locked in fifths. So harmonically, that should be relatively simple.
Yep. Then at 59, we come back with the same thought from before. Flute, oboe,
it's
clarinet,
like
and xylo have the one and two and three and four and again. They continue on. Snare becomes more active. Timpani is featured again, just like the beginning. 63, we have for the first time the low brass get the melody. So they take over and low reeds. All the woodwinds are now doing these like contrary motion
eighth notes.
So like flute and oboe are going one and two and one and two and clarinets are going one and two and one and two and. So it's the background part, but you know, you want to make sure that that doesn't clash or sound too loud. And then some of the other parts like sax, bassoon, bass clarinet, they just have one and
They have these little staccato rhythmic hits. Yep. Now, the bells doubles what's happening in flute and oboe, and the range that it's written in for bells, plus what it's written in for flutes, plus the contrary motion range that the clarinets are in. You may experiment with only having one or two of your flutes play it in the octave it's in and taking it down. You might have your bell player take it down an octave, or your clarinets just really project, because where it's written with bells and flutes doubling in that same octave,
they will overpower the clarinets.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep. So this again is the low brass feature, and by low brass, I mean trombones.
Yeah.
Because euphonium and tuba have the same part as bassoon and bass clarinet.
And trumpet.
And technically bass clarinet and tenor sax have the melody along with trombone. But making sure, again, we're not all taking breaths after the three measures of the melody so that it sounds seamless is important. We come back in with our hit at 67. I'm doing the motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're missing it.
Mm-hmm. And so everybody's got that little drone there. And then 68 is just the same thing. Active snare. We've got a little harmonic change at 69 going into 70. 70 is the timpani getting a moment again. Now we've got another new little moment at 71. That trombone tenor line melody is now in flute, oboe, clarinet. But there's an alto sax solo again. And it's kind of like the melody, but it's like... Is it a soli?
It's a soli,
it's a
yeah.
soli.
It is a
soli. Sorry. But it's just in the first alto part. Right. So if you only have two altos, it would be a solo.
Exactly.
Unless you wanted them both to play or whatever. It's kind of like the melody, but it's like fancy melody.
It's like a decorated melody, but yeah. It does have the skeleton of, you know, the melody before.
But you would want it to be brought
featured
out for sure.
Yeah.
And like, I was just thinking, if I were to play this at my spring concert, I might let the alto saxophone section or soloist stand up, because it's just like at my spring concert. That might be kind of fun. If you're playing it again at like a fall concert, you could have the soloist stand. I mean, there's no, you know, rule against that or whatever. Make them feel special and featured. So you could do that to feature the flute and the clarinet and the trumpet solo that happened earlier during the middle section if you wanted to. I mean, why not?
The percussion adds in with sleigh bells here, which is kind of an unusual color to add at this point. It's interesting sounding, but totally different. It's one of the things that I think makes this one, it's like a little four bar. Mm-hmm. It's very short, but kind of a unique little interjection into this whole fanfare idea.
After that idea, we go back 75. We've got a chord. Trumpets are back on the little staccato accompaniment part like we spoke about before. Timpani has another moment again, leading us into 79. We're back to the accented bold section. One, two, three, and four. One, two, three, don't breathe. One, two, three, and four. And the trumpets are, trumpet one is up at the top of the staff, and they're playing G above the staff. Flutes are above the staff, so this is going to be a cross-tuning thing.
This is exactly like what we had before with the low brass and octaves kind of moving down a B-flat scale, and then that cross-tuning like we mentioned before with the true fanfare-type section here.
Yep.
It's exactly like what you had before.
Alto and horn have a little like counter-melody moment at 82, going into 83 and 84. There's a trill that comes in the upper woodwind. I would have that be either one on a part or marked piano. And then at 85, it is marked heroically. And now the trumpets continue on in the melody. The horns and altos have a counter melody line at like 88, 89 that you'll want to bring out. And then the upper people are doing something different, but it's basically the same thing as the beginning where it's like one and two and three and four. And, but this time it's just
they're changing
one and
notes
two
here.
And three and four, and they're just changing different intervals.
Yeah. There's bigger skips here than it was at the beginning. And the trumpet part is slightly different, same rhythm, same idea, but slightly different notes.
Yep.
We're just building. You can tell, I mean, this is building,
We're building it up to the finish.
Right?
Yep. 89, flute, oboe, clarinet take over the melody. Everybody else is on just like changing chords. So you'll just want to make sure you balance that correctly where you can still hear the tuba. 91 starts a cool little bell tones section.
Yeah.
Each part that comes in is marked forte piano and with an accent. So you'll have to work on making sure that each new entrance is heard. I know, I'm sure Laura and I both do this. We'll usually bop this.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
To where you
I would
can
bop
hear
it.
The front mm-hmm. and make sure that each entrance is just as strong as the section before that, which sometimes that can be difficult. Like on the first one, it's tuba, barry, sax, bass, clarinet. Second one, bassoon, tenor, sax, euphonium. Might be a little more difficult to hear. Who knows? Next one is trombone only. Yep. And then the next one is horn and alto. So that trombone only one might need a beef up. Like you might either need to have them play it stronger or maybe have tenor sax join them. You know, I always kind of mess around with writing. If I can't hear one of the entrances, I might say, okay, tenor sax, you come in there instead, or bassoon, you come in there instead. So that each one, you always hear one, three, one, three, and you can hear each of them the same way.
And relate this, I'm sure many of you do concert F around the room with your band. Relate this to concert F around the room. Everybody's entrance needs to sound the same, right? You need to match volume, you need to match energy. And then, of course, once they get that, you can work on the piano part of the forte piano and making sure they stay out of the way. There is a crescendo written right before measure 95. And so add that in. But the difficulty is, especially those people, those tuba, barry, bass, clarinet, that come in four measures before, because this builds over the course of four measures, making sure that they sustain at piano the entire time until we get to that crescendo measure. Yep. So don't overdo it.
At 95, everybody comes in with accents again. One and two, and then four. One is like tuba, barry, sax, bass, clarinet, timpani. And then horn has a written like F, G, but it's written where you can also play it up an octave, which if you've got a stellar horn section, that'd be fun.
That'd be great
because
to
you
do.
Can kind of feature them a little bit with the saxophones.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we're closing out to the finish, just a big one and two. Again, another horn alto moment kind of in response to all of this. They are the ones who fill in the gaps. Everyone's holding a half note tied to a whole note, and the horn and alto are moving on half notes there. Just a nice finish. Upper voices, it's really divided in two where we have upper voices and middle and lower voices. Big statements on beat one, and then three, one, three from everybody else until you end with a
with
big
accents,
chord,
yep.
all accents. You end with a forte piano crescendo, 8-beat chord building to your stinger
with
note
just
at the
snare
end.
Drum and timpani.
And timpani, big timpani.
Doing cool stuff at the mm-hmm. end. Yeah, and then a little last chord for everybody.
It's 3 minutes long. So, maybe slightly a little bit longer than maybe the average fanfare, but really good. I think it's written very well. If you've got strong players, like Katie mentioned at the beginning, especially in the high brass section, I think this could be a great concert opener and something fun
or
for your
closer.
Kids. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, we hope you will consider programming Triumphs in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.